You said you had fireplaces in your home there. Did it have a place, a board over it like that?
Yeah, it had a mantle. Huh? Those little figurines right there and that large one were on my grandmother's mantle in the old home in Brownsville. They bought their home in 1882. They were built out there. And that large figurine was given to her on her first wedding anniversary, which is 1961. She married in 1860. And she and her mother and sister and a little sister and brother came from Harper's Ferry, Virginia in 1850 to Brownsville.
That's very pretty.
And they, well, earlier than that, really, and they appeared on the 1850 census. My grandfather didn't. My grandfather Taylor, see, she married a John Taylor. He was in Zachary Taylor's army, and he was considerably older than she. She was born in Dublin, Ireland, and I found him on the 1850 census down there, just she and the four children. Well, that was because after he mustered out, he worked for a while at Clarksville, which was a town opposite Baghdad on the mouth of the river. Baghdad was a big freeport entry from on the Mexican side, and Clarksville was on the American side, but there was no immigration, you know, everybody went back and forth. And Baghdad was where Maximilian had all his mercenaries. During the time we were busy with the Civil War, he and Santana were going to take over Mexico while we were busy with our business over here, but they didn't get anywhere. The closest he ever got to us was up here. His mercenaries, he never did. Up here at Camargo, opposite Rio Grande City. And they have a monument out there 12 miles east from there where the Mexican forces just beat those mercenaries all to pieces. They cut them up with machetes and everything else. And a lot of them deserted Maximilian and stayed there. And that's why you see a lot of blonde-headed, blue-eyed Mexicans, Belgium and Austrian troops and some troops from Holland. Mercenaries from everywhere. He had almost 8,000 mercenaries stationed at Baghdad at one time.
Yep, see.
Yeah, Maximilian. And see, then, of course, he fell in bad with the Mexican government. He had enough influence that in 1864, he had Santana elected governor of the state of Tamaulipas. You know, he was trying to get a hold and thought Santana could help him. And, of course, the Mexican government finally executed him, you know. But when I was in Europe in 1966, I went to the Habsburg crypt, which is near the Spanish Academy, where they had those horses, and they had gotten his body from Mexico, and these different Habsburg people were there, you know, in this crypt for the Habsburg family. But I'd like to take you to Santa Gutierrez. That's a big monument where the Mexicans just butchered them, and they claimed the blood just ran down the hill, you know. And the Mexican army, that's the closest he ever got to the border for fighting, but he had a lot to do with the building of the opera house in Matamoros, Carlota, Empress Carlota did. She never did get up this way. She stayed in Mexico City and built Chapultepec Palace, you know, which is very beautiful. But she never did get up this far.
Well, being such frontier land here, what kind of furniture did people like your grandmother have in their living room or something, or the parlor?
Well, they had mostly oak furniture. Of course, that's part of her antique furniture.
What did you call that piece of furniture?
Well, it's a settee, but there was a double set, and that was hand-carved in New Orleans for a very wealthy Spanish family in Brownsville. And this little table came with it, and I have a platform rocker somewhere and some straight chairs stored upstairs.
Now, is it a settee?
It's walnut. It's carved walnut.
It seats two people, I say.
Yes. There were double ones. It was a double set. My brother has the other settee.
Well, what is this?
That's just a couch that I just picked up. Mm-hmm. The funny thing about that is that a friend of mine had it out on her back porch, and it was enameled and green. And she was getting ready to move in a new home, and I started teaching. She said, "Ann, if you want that thing there, I'll sell it to you for $3.50. So I gave her $3.50, And I soon took it home. I was teaching that first year. Took it home and I started scraping it a bit and found out that it was walnut. And she nearly killed her. She wanted to buy it back, you know. And that piece of marble right there came off of the old courthouse that we tore down, which I'm sorry we did, because see, it's the same architecture as the jail that we're using for a museum. And that walnut piece that it's on came from an old Victrola we had, a temple Victrola. And it came out, and I used that for the stand because it was solid walnut, see.
Well, that, this is a couch. I don't understand, this is a couch that has a sort of a low back in it.
See, yes, uh-huh. It's got little railings back there.
A little railing back and arms, and see, uh-huh. Four people. Would you have anything else, other pieces of furniture like this? I mean, you know, then what else would you have?
Yes, I have a platform rocker, which is stored. You know, they're the rockers that rock on the wood itself.